Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And welcome again to the Explaining History podcast. And today I want to take a slightly different direction and talk about John Lennon and Yoko Ono's 1969 hit, Give Peace a Chance. Now, going back in the archives, you'll know that I did talk about 3 or 4 years ago about John Lennon's politics, confusing and contradictory though they were in the 1970s. And his relationship with America that was both complimentary and antagonistic. And the reason I wanted to talk about this is I've done some podcasts in the past on iconic protest songs, and this is perhaps one of the more iconic protest songs of the 20th century, being, as it really is, referencing the Vietnam War. Of course, the first sort of foray into political songwriting had been with the Beatles and their 1968 hit Revolution, which was an anthem for the protests in Britain, America, Germany, Mexico and Greece and other places around the world in 1968. This was mirrored by the Rolling Stones' Street Fighting Man. The intellectual and critic Grail Marcus wrote, "The Beatles were ordering us to pack up and go home, but the Stones seemed to be saying that we were lucky if we had a fight to make and a place to take a stand." The song Revolution is strongly critical of people waving Chairman Mao posters, and it in some ways is a warning against revolution, a warning against people who have misguided notions and revolutions that have terrible unforeseen consequences. Grail Marcus later wrote that it was Street Fighting Man that was banned from being played on radio stations in Chicago during August 1968, at the height of the protests against the Democratic National Convention, whereas Revolution was on heavy rotation. The Berkeley Free Speech Movement knew the Stones record, but they were dismissive of the track by the Beatles. And critics on the left, in the New Left Review and other radical magazines, were excoriating about the Beatles and cheered the Rolling Stones. But ironically, it would be John Lennon that would become the face of the anti-war movement, of the protests against Nixon in the early 70s, not Mick Jagger. And John Lennon, who would embrace every radical, revolutionary, anti-imperialist, and anti-capitalist cause he could get his hands on, to the extent that some of his political posturing becomes incoherent and some of it becomes poorly judged, but certainly much of it heartfelt. Give Peace a Chance sits at the heart of all of these kinds of political manoeuvrings. For much of the 1960s, the Beatles had steered away from protest music, and in Britain in the 1960s, the conditions of things like the Vietnam War that were present in America obviously weren't there. The experience of the civil rights movement and other huge kind of cultural upheavals, the counterculture, really aren't a factor in Britain in the way they are in America. So they, and a singular protest figure like Dylan, who managed to kind of combine the world of folk music and rock, doesn't emerge either. The world of more observational pop music by the Kinks and the Beatles, for example, is something that is far more accessible to British ears. This makes the development of Lennon as a politicised character curious, to say the least. Despite John Lennon's various spats with the New Left over the song Revolution, his first outing into public protest on the marriage of himself to Yoko Ono in March 1969 and their honeymoon at the Amsterdam Hilton was the bed-in protest. In 1967, there had been a psychedelic happening in San Francisco, the Human Bee-In, and it was an event where yoga, LSD, and all the trappings of hippiedom were on display to the wider American public, and it got huge publicity for the first time. And so the bed in was a kind of a derived from that. The protest, it was a protest where John and Yoko would stay in bed for a week as our protest against all the suffering and violence in the world. The bed-in was a part of Yoko's performance art, but it also had within it some of the ideas, some of the kind of the countercultural ideas of Herbert Marcuse, who in his book One Dimensional Man puts forward the idea that the only effective protest against the system is non-participation, rejection of capitalism by refusing to enter it, to exist within it at all, which arguably is not particularly a very effective way of doing things. And the idea of going to bed for the week is a performance art rejection of the capitalist system. Unfortunately for John and Yoko, they were staying in a 5-star hotel while they were doing it. Now, in Dorian Lynskey's excellent book, 33 Revolutions Per Minute, A History of Protest Songs, he writes, "Inevitably, many of the mainstream media and counterculture alike scoffed that it was the worst kind of rock star narcissism, but measured purely in terms of column inches and airtime, the stunt did its job. Other light-hearted gimmicks followed. The happy couple sent symbolic acorns for peace to world leaders and invented bagism, which argued that if everyone was cloaked in a bag, then they would be judged only on what they said, not how they looked. What, the curious press corps wanted to know, did the couple hope to achieve? All we're saying is give peace a chance, Lennon told journalists in Vienna. If the least we can do is give someone a laugh, we'll be willing to be the world's clowns, because we think it's a bit serious at the moment." So in May 1969, they repeated the bed-in in Montreal, following, they hoped to do it in America, but the US immigration authorities were wise to this and refused them a visa. So they lay in their bed, dressed entirely in white, surrounded by flowers, and invited reporters and fans who filled the corridor outside. "It was hilarious," Lennon later told Playboy. "In effect, we were doing a commercial for peace on the front page of papers instead of a commercial for war." However, at the same time, when the anti-Vietnam War protests, particularly in Berkeley, reached a moment of violence, and on the 16th of May, the student James Rector was killed by a police officer wielding a shotgun. John Lennon's public pronouncements on peace and resistance were very, very weak indeed. And that he suggested that the protesters think of something else. It doesn't give any direction as to what that might be. And in this moment, John Lennon's kind of rhetoric really falls apart. That he is able to publicly advocate peace, but be unable to have any kind of meaningful contribution when those who are protesting for peace come under attack from the police. On the final night of the bed-in, John Lennon played Give Peace a Chance live in the bedroom, along with LSD advocate Timothy Leary and his wife, the Beatles' long-standing confidant and sort of press spokesman Derek Taylor, and the Playboy journalist Paul Williams. Williams wrote, "He gave the impression that he'd just been fooling around with this chorus phrase, and then the verses were spontaneously strung together, talk about anything that had recently caught his attention. He sang to us charmingly, as though he were a poet reading some recent notes from his journal." Dorian Lynskey writes, "Late that next morning, Lennon recorded the song on a portable 8-track and video camera with a roster of backup singers and guitarists, which reads like the set to an elaborate joke about people walking into a bar. Yoko, Taylor, Williams, the Learys, comedians Dick Gregory and Tommy Smothers, pop singer Petula Clark, a rabbi, a priest, and the Canadian chapter of the Radha Krishna Temple. The beat was banged out on Hare Krishna drums and a mahogany dining table. The chorus lyrics were written on a sheet and hung on the wall." The song itself is less important, or the recording of the song is less important than its uses afterwards. For example, in November 1969, the Vietnam Moratorium Committee, the protest organisation, that organised the National Moratorium Day on October the 15th. Later set up a day of action a month later on November the 15th. At the main demo, Pete Seeger, the protest singer, sang Give Peace a Chance to 500,000 protesters. Seeger initially had been dubious about the song. Didn't think very much of it when he first heard it. Thought it was kind of like a nothing sort of song. And he changed his mind when he started to hear students singing it. He started to hear the crowd singing it, realising that it was catching on. And addressed the song on the stage to Richard Nixon, asking, "Are you listening, Nixon?" And it turned out to be the high point of the protest, with hundreds of thousands of people in the crowd singing the song together.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
In unison. And Lennon felt slightly vindicated from all the criticism that he had received from the anti-war left over the song Revolution. He was overjoyed and believed that this song would kind of be up there with the roster of great political songs such as We Shall Overcome. Lennon had spent the rest of 1969 in a whirlwind of activism supporting a diverse range of causes, from the anti-Biafran war movement. He handed back his MBE to the government, and he also, along with Yoko, released Merry Christmas, War Is Over in December 1969. So by the end of 1969, John Lennon had become the public face of the peace movement, though in the words of George Melly, the jazz musician and critic who wrote his book Revolt into Style in 1970, he looked at the general musical contributions towards revolution in 1968 rather dismally. He said, "This was surely the moment when you might have expected pop to provide the anthems, the marches, the songs for the barricade. In fact, it did nothing of the sort. At all events, the political upheaval of 1968 proved that pop music, in the revolutionary sense, was a non-starter, a fake revolt with no programme much beyond the legalisation of pot." And, of course, really, there is no reason why it would have been. Pop music is embedded within the system of capitalist relations, just as any other commercial enterprise is. It might reference revolution, it might reference politics, it might even reference generational conflict. But certainly there's no suggestion, there's no logical reason why it would seek to, or be able to, or have any bearing on the assault on the capitalist system. John Lennon's activism by 1970 mirrored the decline of the Beatles, which was still a kind of a secret. John Lennon had decided that he wished to leave, and the group had reached the kind of the end of its the ability for it to kind of creatively collaborate together. John Lennon in 1970 embraced the anti-apartheid movement, CND, and the self-titled spokesman for Black British politics, Michael X, who, whilst being a figure of immense grandstanding and therefore suspicion to the radical left in Britain, was immensely attractive to John Lennon and to Yoko Ono. And this really indicates Lennon's naivety. It indicates that, in many ways, John Lennon was far more interested in embracing eye-catching and headline-grabbing causes than he was in exploring the nuances and the kind of the deeper analyses. And as a result, a lot of his more worthy political posturings are compromised continually by the company he keeps. In 1970, March 1970, he visited Los Angeles to work with the psychotherapist Arthur Yanov, who was one of the proponents of primal scream therapy. And John Lennon, the traumas of his childhood, the loss of his mother in a car accident, and the abandonment by his father, obviously had a lot of childhood trauma in order that he needed to work through. On the way, he wrote the songs, most of the songs for the first post-Beatles albums, the John Lennon Plastic Ono Band. And the this contained, you know, hugely autobiographical stuff, such as Mother. But the song God, in which he lists all the things he doesn't believe in, from Martin Luther King to Bob Dylan to Elvis to Kennedy to Hitler to Jesus and the Buddha, is this statement of a kind of profound disillusionment. But perhaps the most politicised song John Lennon ever wrote, and arguably critically his best, was Working Class Hero. Dorian Lynskey writes, Lennon would later declare it a revolutionary song. I just think the concept is revolutionary, and I hope it's for workers and not for tarts and fags. Delivered with a snarl, it combined Marxist rhetoric, keep you dope with religion and sex and TV, Yanovian analysis, the pain is so big you feel nothing at all, and autobiography. If some lines could apply to any worker, then others could only be about Lenin himself, the man who had climbed to the top to find there was still a fucking peasant. The last line is bitterly sarcastic. If you want to be a hero, well, just follow me. As a song about John Lennon, it is astonishing, but the worker remains intangibly vague. Lennon always lacked McCartney's instinctive empathy for the common man or woman. So by 1971, Lennon was being interviewed by Marxist journalists in Britain for the Marxist Red Mole newspaper, and coming out with stuff like, if we took over Britain, then we'd have a job of cleaning up the bourgeoisie and keeping people in a revolutionary state of mind. He looked at Mao in China and the Cultural Revolution and stressed that he thought Mao was doing a good job. And he patched up differences with Tariq Ali, who had previously been of Black Dwarf magazine, that had attacked John Lennon over revolution. And their relations were so, so good that he was able to ask the question to John Lennon, how do you think we can destroy the capitalist system here in Britain, John? Of this discussion, the song "Power to the People" was born. So, "Power to the People" shows the distance that John Lennon had travelled since Revolution. The Revolution is a song about apathy towards revolution. "Give Peace a Chance" is a kind of like an undirected and apolitical plea that peace somehow happen, whereas "Power to the People" is unambiguously calling for revolution. In 1971, the final part of John Lennon's political songwriting was the song, his best known song, "Imagine." "Imagine" is a song in which the concepts of organised religion, the nation, private property, all the things that underpin ideologically the liberal capitalist world, John Lennon invited his audience to imagine a world without. John Lennon, throughout 1971, again embraced every radical cause going from the conflict in Northern Ireland against British government's policy of internment through to the shipbuilders, the striking shipbuilders on the Clyde, and then decided that he was going to leave Great Britain for good. He and Yoko moved to America to help Yoko fight for custody for her daughter, from her second husband. And it was seen as a great shock and a great sadness to the British left, and to Tariq Ali in particular, who was kind of quite resentful of the fact that John Lennon embraced the Yippies, Jerry Rubin and Abby Hoffman, as soon as he arrived in America. But the truth is that within 3 years in America, his activism, his passion for activism, had burnt out. And one can only wonder whether, as John Lennon left the Beatles, he abandoned any faith in Eastern mysticism that he had once embraced. He discovered and recovered from heroin addiction that radical politics, revolution, Marxism, anti-imperialism, and the kind of the basket of ideas on the radical left were something that he could fleetingly embrace to fill some kind of deeper, more emotional void within him, and then gradually abandon. And in the last few years of his life, which are punctuated with bouts of drinking and addiction, feuds with the other Beatles, and then finally, before his death in 1980, some period of relative stability, this is a period of time which is largely apolitical. The legacy of Give Peace a Chance, however, is that it has been adopted as an anti-war anthem from Vietnam onwards. It's perhaps the best known and most popular anti-war song that is sung by crowds on demonstrations against wars such as Iraq or the bombing of Yugoslavia, the former Yugoslavia. And so the song lives on despite its shaky origins and despite the questionable and inconsistent ideas of John Lennon, who really picked up the cause of anti-imperialism and pacifism and revolution when it suited him. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this slightly different Explaining History podcast, and we'll have a little bit more of an examination of popular songs as we go through this year. Anyway, all the best. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.